time to get the local view. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section. Catch up online by visiting registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Austin Meek, RG. Austin Meek, a good 2016 to you, sir. Oh, wow. I owe you a year. Make it 2017. How you doing?
Good. Whatever year it is, I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. So the coach of Minnesota football, I realize that as a rule, this probably would not make a big ripple here in the fine Willamette Valley, but he went 9-4, beat Washington State in the Holiday Bowl, and the Big Ten was viewed as probably the strongest conference. He took over midway through 2015. The well-documented health issues of Jerry Kill. His contract ran through 2018. He gets fired after going 9-4. Now, not only just about that, but you have kind of an interesting connection with last name, by the way, Tracy Clays.
Tracy Clays, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's from my hometown, Clay Center, Kansas, so a town of about 5,000 people, and what are the odds that one of them goes on to become a Big Ten football coach? But, I know his family a little bit, and I saw the news today that he got fired, and I was a little surprised because I watched Minnesota in that bowl game against Washington State, and it looked like they really came to play.
And I guess at this point, this is going – I mean, this literally – I read a story on ESPN. It happened 21 minutes ago. So that's just, the odds that he's from the same town as you. It would have been different if you were from, like, L.A. or Tokyo, where there's, pretty substantial population, but 5,000. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I sort of followed this story partly for that reason because, I do have a connection there. It's an example, I guess, maybe of how times have changed in college football because, it's obvious that the reason he got fired was not necessarily for what happened on the field. I mean, they were 9-4, and Minnesota has not had very many, 9 or 10 win seasons in their history. So it wasn't that that got him fired, but obviously there was some controversy up there regarding, the boycott of the players before the bowl game stemming from suspensions that went back to a sexual assault allegation that had some parallels to the situation that happened with Oregon basketball a few years ago that people will remember. So yeah, I think Tracy Clays kind of put himself in the middle of that by making some public statements in support of his players. That's a tough situation for a coach because you want to have your players back, and if your players make a stand, you want your players to feel like you support them. But in that case, it may have been appropriate for him just not to say anything because, as it turned out, I think the players recanted from their boycott when they saw the details of what allegedly happened there. It ended up not reflecting very well on the coach that he supported that. So that's probably a big reason why he is no longer the coach.
What a novel concept. Accumulate facts and don't say anything. 2017,
yeah, right.
Good luck with all that. Let's hit rewind, go back to Wednesday at Matt Knight Arena. You'd written that it's the biggest game in the history of the arena. Number 2 UCLA in town, Bill Walton doing the game with Roxy Bernstein, ESPN. And obviously, you got to see so much good hoop at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. You've been to NCAA tournament games. But man, for a December conference opener, those two teams, that finish, how high up the electrifying scale was that for you?
Well, I thought that was certainly the best game and the best finish I had seen at Matthew Knight Arena. And we talked last week about that potentially being the biggest game that had been played there. And I think, looking back on it, it definitely was the best moment that I've seen at that arena. The crowd was great. The scene after the game, not once but twice with the fans coming out of the stands and mobbing Dylan Brooks, it was great. It was, like you said, for a Pac-12 opener in December, before the new year even gets there, it just doesn't get much better than that.
And then the follow-up, USC is also unbeaten. But, you know, you look at who they beat, Texas A&M. They couldn't put Oregon State away. They were down Boatright. But for the Ducks to show no letdown and just curb stomp them, maybe how telling was it to kind of finish off the home sweep in a route like that?
Yeah, I mean, if there was a game you were going to have a letdown, that potentially would be the spot coming off such a big win. But Oregon really showed no mercy for USC. And you know, I don't want to use the word fraud to describe the 14-0 record that USC brought into that game, but that team I saw Friday night was not that good. And you know, as you mentioned, they were missing Benny Boatright, and he's a big part of their team. But I think maybe, I won't say fraud, I might say fluke. I don't think USC is quite as good as that non-conference record would indicate.
Yeah, 14-0 you'd think would be top 10, not 24th. That probably was telling as well. Talking with Austin Meek, registered guard. Most felt that because of the Dylan Brooks injury and maybe some new faces finding their way, Oregon was still in pretty good shape, but now you see they swept the Bruins, they beat the Trojans, they jumped in the rankings. I know this might be oversimplifying it, but are we at a point where whatever you thought Oregon could accomplish in October, why not at this point? It's all there.
Yeah, this looks like the team that we thought they were going to be going into the season, and it took them a little while to get there, but obviously Dylan Brooks is back to form, and that's a big part of it. You know, when Dylan Brooks is playing like this, Oregon's a really good team. And I think the other part of that is Peyton Pritchard. You know, when you look at this team compared to last year's team, Peyton Pritchard, when he's on the floor, does give Oregon a scoring dimension from the point guard position that they don't necessarily get from Casey Benson. So it's, you know, it's a dangerous team when Peyton Pritchard is scoring the ball and when Dylan Brooks is playing like he is. And, you know, Chris Boucher is back and healthy and, you know, coming off the bench, which is, you know, I guess it speaks to the depth that Oregon has, that, you know, they can bring Chris Boucher off the bench and not feel any real urgent need to get him back in the starting lineup. They have, you know, their top seven is really solid. And, you know, in some ways, maybe more dangerous than the, you know, the top seven that they had last year.
Yeah, I think forever we're going to look at Peyton Pritchard's three as the shot before the shot. I mean, Steely, he also had that drive to the bucket. He was the one with the presence of mind to save the time and foul Steve Alford. I know we kind of talked about it with Justin Herbert when he stepped in, but man, for a true freshman, sometimes you throw a guy out there, Austin, and it's you just say, yeah, he looks like he belongs.
Yeah. I thought Dana Altman was really rolling the dice by putting Peyton Pritchard in the starting lineup over Casey Benson, because you've got a guy in Casey Benson who was a really big part of a team that went to the Elite Eight, you know, a floor general kind of guy, really solid player, you know, not going to score a bunch, but makes the smart play, you know, takes care of the ball, doesn't turn it over. I really thought that it was kind of a gamble to put Peyton Pritchard in the starting lineup ahead of Casey Benson, but I think we're seeing why Dana Altman did that, because the upside with Peyton Pritchard is so high. You know, he can do all those things as well. You know, he can take care of the ball, he can make the smart plays, a good passer, but also he can score. You know, he's got the ability to put the ball in the basket, and he's going to have some, you know, some freshman moments, like when he's looking at the coach and the guy comes and takes the ball away from him and goes back for a layup. That's going to happen sometimes when you got a true freshman out there. But the upside with Peyton Pritchard is so high that I think Oregon is willing to live with that because they know what he can be.
Let's play the Chip Kelly speculation game, but eliminate Oregon. So that San Francisco roster was awful. They had guys starting at the end who were not even on the preseason roster. So I guess a two-parter. Are you surprised he got fired after just the 1 year? And if you had to roll the dice, where do you think Chip Kelly surfaces next? Head coach in college, NFL coordinator, NFL head coach?
Well, I'm a little surprised because, you know, the 49ers just fired a guy after 1 year, and teams don't really like to do that, especially 2 years in a row. But knowing how dysfunctional that organization is, I guess I'm not shocked. And as far as where Chip goes from here. You know, we were sort of taking bets on that in the office today. You know, does he go to Alabama and become the offensive coordinator in waiting, Sarkisian? Does he get another head coaching job? Does he go to the Patriots if Josh McDaniels a head coaching job? You know, that would be a great gig to be Tom Brady's offensive coordinator with the Patriots. My guess is that he does something like that. You know, a coordinator position in the NFL. You know, take a couple years. You know, rehab his image and reputation a little bit. You know, I think this year with San Francisco almost will end up going down as a mulligan on Chip's resume, just from the standpoint that was such a hopeless situation. The roster was so bad. They gave him nothing to work with. They only gave him 1 year. I think if he goes somewhere as a coordinator and has success, he might be able to get another head coaching job. But it's going to take some time, and he's going to have to go to a place where he can succeed and get his mojo back a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think NFL coordinator's logical. Let's move to college football as we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. I think most people had the Rose Bowl high on their list of games they wanted to watch. And I know I play this game frequently, but years from now, when you think Trojans 52, Nittany Lions 49 to open 2017, from just the brass of Darnell to the Penn State run, what stuck out to you about that unbelievable game?
Well, it was one of the best bowl games I think I've ever seen. You know, when I think about great Rose Bowls, I go back to USC and Texas for the title, and you know, every other game is going to fall somewhere after that one. But this one this year is definitely on the list. It was, you know, an amazing game. And, you know, Sam Darnold, to be a freshman quarterback in that situation and make some of the throws he made, including the touchdown to tie the game, which was just an amazing throw. He's got, man, the sky is just the limit for him. And I think the rest of the Pac-12, you know, it's an interesting question now to say who in the Pac-12 is really feeling good going in next year. And obviously Washington had a great year, but when you saw the guys that declared for the draft today, I'm not sure that USC isn't the favorite next year in the Pac-12.
Yeah, especially. Well, first we have to see who follows suit. But as far as the Huskies and Bama, I'm not a conference honk, but I wasn't sure Washington had received their due for what they accomplished. I thought they deserved this bid. And while the offense couldn't do much against that Bama defense, you know, who could, I thought their defense stood up well. What did you make of Tide Dogs?
I thought Washington acquitted itself fairly well. I thought they played Alabama about as well as anybody can. You know, it was just a couple plays, you know, a pick six before halftime, and then that huge back-breaking run that they gave up after they had Alabama pinned deep. You know, just a couple plays here and there, and that's what allows Alabama to pull away from you. But you just basically have to play the perfect game to have a chance to beat Alabama. Washington didn't quite do that. I'm curious to see how this title game plays out now with Alabama and Clemson. If it's anywhere near as good as last year's, it's going to be a great game. I think this Alabama team is a little better than last year's. I think defensively they're better. I don't think this game is going to be nearly as high scoring as it was last year. But you know, I thought Washington gave them a good shot. I'm hopeful that Clemson maybe can give Alabama even a little better shot.
Let's wrap with Ohio State-Clemson. A lot of people felt, no league title, why are the Buckeyes in? You know, they got 215 total yards, 9 first downs. This is just a bad game for OSU, Clemson on a mission. I guess, how surprising did you find the result? And did it change your belief maybe on who actually belonged in the Final Four?
Well, it took Urban Meyer, what, about 24 hours to change his offensive coordinator, so clearly he wasn't too happy with how that played out. I was surprised. I thought that would be a closer game. I thought Ohio State would be able to at least do something offensively against Clemson, which they clearly couldn't. I don't know that it changed my opinion significantly about the Final Four teams. hey, there's a good argument for Penn State. The people who thought Penn State belonged, they can point to how well Penn State played against USC and say Penn State could have given Clemson a better game. And maybe they could have, but at the end of the day, I think the committee still got it right. You know, one thing I did take away from this bowl season, people talked about, would the playoff take some luster away from all the other bowl games? I don't really think it has. You know, this is now 2 years in a row where the semifinal games really were duds.
Certainly.
The semifinal games were not that compelling. The games we're going to be talking about from this bowl season was the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl. Those two games were great. And, you know, the fact that they weren't semifinal games, I don't think it took anything away from them at all.
No, I agree. I thought they got the four right. The two games I couldn't wait to see turn out to be better, although I had my top three included Ohio State-Clemson. That's a story for another day. Follow Austin on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Of course, catch all his work in the Register Guard sports section. Thanks for not only leading off our Tuesday, but our week, Austin. Are you traveling to Seattle for tomorrow?
You know what? I actually will be. Weather permitting, I'm going to make the drive up tomorrow. So
all right.
I'll be doing that.
Well, you travel safe, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy, Austin.